Penguin Random House Audio presents The Last Lifeboat by Hazel Gaynor. Read for you by Billy Fulford Brown. For Tanya, in memory of your dear mum, Joan Flanagan. 3rd of September, 1939. War. Listened to Chamberlain's announcement over the wireless this morning. All very serious, until the dog stood up during the national anthem, which made me laugh, and then set everyone else off too. Probably inappropriate to find humour at a time of national crisis, but it might be the last laugh we have for a while. Besides, it was a useful way to hide my tears. The children leave for the countryside today. I don't know what else to say about that. Mass Observation, Diarist number 6672. Mid-Atlantic, 17th of September, 1940. Alice can't breathe. The wind snatches her breath away, leaving her gasping for air as she half jumps, half stumbles into the lifeboat and falls, face down against the boards. She tries to pull herself up, but the lifeboat pitches violently as another monstrous wave smashes into them and throws Alice into a woman beside her. The woman loses her grip on the rain-slicked mast and tumbles, with extraordinary grace, into the dark ocean, her white nightdress unfurling around her as she spins and twirls like a ballerina in a pirouette. Too shocked to respond, Alice can't look away.
Miss! Miss! Can you help the children?
A tall man in plaid pyjamas emerges through the rain. He grabs the mast to steady himself as he points toward something at the other end of the lifeboat. But the storm steals his words and fear smothers Alice's ability to respond. She clings desperately to the bottom of the mast and tries not to think about the falling woman as she searches for something familiar to orient herself amid the chaos. But there is nothing. No stars, no moon, not even the bright hue of the flares they'd sent up to alert the other ships in the convoy to their distress. Every source of light Alice has known during her 5 days at sea has been extinguished, leaving a darkness so intense that there is no obvious point at which the ocean ends and the sky begins. Everything is upside down, upended, destroyed.
Miss, the children!
Through the roar of the wind, Alice hears a high-pitched mewling, but her attention is caught by an elderly man leaning dangerously out over the side of the lifeboat as he reaches for a hand in the water. Alice watches through the blinding spray from the waves as another man joins him, then a third, and then the man in the pyjamas stumbles forward to help, each of them reaching and grasping until one of them grabs the hand. But the heaving swell sends the lifeboat rearing up, and the pale fingers slip from his grasp. Again and again they try. Twice, Alice thinks they have her, a woman in a white nightdress, but the ocean is in no mood for mercy. Another huge wave lashes the lifeboat, and the woman is swept away. The men sink to their knees, their battle lost. The elderly man sobs like a child. Amid the fury of the storm and the chaos and noise of the 24 or so terrified souls crowded into the narrow lifeboat around her, Alice tries desperately to remember her training. But the simple remedies for seasickness, the songs and games to keep the children entertained, the procedures to follow in the unlikely event of an instruction to abandon ship are of no use to her now. There was no protocol to follow for when you found yourself in an open lifeboat in a furious storm, your ship torpedoed by a German U-boat and sinking fast, lifeboats all around you capsized, damaged and waterlogged, leaving desperate souls floundering in the raging water. Alice crawls forward, infant-like, on hands and knees. Concealed iron rivets and hard wooden ridges dig painfully into her skin.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?